But next up, our parents make us the people we are. The lucky ones get a good grounding in morals and manners and have a good sense of self-esteem, at least when they're children, before the big bad world steps in. But what if you don't get that? We've seen and heard over the years the effects that childhood trauma can have on our adult selves, and even in the past few weeks we've been hearing it as well. My guest this morning was raised by a narcissistic mother and a passive father. She endured years of physical and emotional abuse, which left her walking on eggshells around her mother, leaving her with complex issues well into adulthood. Her name is Katrina Collier. She helps companies in her day job and companies and candidates with recruitment issues, and she is a global keynote speaker on the subject. But this is her first book about herself. It's called The Damage of Words. Katrina, you're very welcome. The memory of your childhood followed you into adulthood. You were insecure, hypervigilant, as you say. In your mind, were you still that child walking on eggshells around your mother?
Oh, yeah, but unaware. I was so disconnected because I'd basically given over, I basically did everything to try and please this non-pleasable narcissistic woman, because anyone who's had an experience with a narcissist knows you cannot please them. It's not possible. So I'd sort of given myself up, and then I went into my 20s and my 30s pretty well still trying to please everybody else except myself. And then when I fell into healing and started my first coaching therapy, it was such a combination of stuff, it was that connect to your inner child. And it was almost discovering that I had this childish part of me that had been completely neglected, and putting her front and center and healing her and helping her feel really secure. And then I could function as an adult because before that I was sort of functioning as an inner teen most of the time.
And which did you find harder, Katrina? Did you find it harder to put your experiences in your memoir or to heal yourself from those experiences?
Oh, definitely to heal myself. I mean, one thing is for sure. If anyone reads this, I have written it with compassion and is written from the healed wound, not from, you know, the wide open how I was as I genuinely fell into therapy, which is a huge reason I've written this, is because I want to encourage people to proactively step in. But, you know, so much of the reason I wrote it was to demystify the healing process, because healing's not easy in the respect of if you're very defensive. So, you know, my child abuse started when I was 3, so I was so defensive that your ego is like really solidly holding you in a bind, and you're unaware, you're just very defensive. You have to get through that and trust that this process will help you. And that's probably the most painful part. But actually, the healing process itself isn't really that scary. It's like taking layers of an onion. I mean, so much of the motivation, again, behind the memoir is, my sister in particular thinks you're lifting the lid off Pandora's box, so she won't deal with it. And I'm going, no, you can't do that, because we've got so many defenses up. It's layering through and going through these, I mean, like those really thin layers on an onion to get to the core wound, which is then so much smaller than you think it is and then easy to heal. But I think often it's our fear that stops us doing that. And that's probably the hardest bit to do. But the actual healing, because it can be really quick, particularly if you do work with someone who does the inner child work, which I think anyone who's had childhood trauma should do, in my humble opinion. And once you start doing that and you start connecting and it's quick, and you feel like, oh, I feel like a weight's been lifted off me. And then you just want to do more and more and more. I think it's getting almost past the little voice in your head telling you that this will be too difficult. That's probably the hardest part.
And I suppose for a lot of adults who went through trauma like this as children, what you can tell me from your experience, is what they want to not have had that childhood, to have had the childhood that they would imagine everybody else has had, which isn't the case either. You know, the loving parents, the nurturing parents, and they can't have that. And because they kind of get stuck in that belief to a certain extent, well, there's nothing I can do, it's in the past, I can't change it, that they're quite reluctant to take the step to fix themselves. Because the key to all of this is, anyone who's feeling this now, the key to not feeling like that lies entirely in their hands.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole cliche of happiness is an inside job is so true. But I understand how they feel. And I also understand how social media amplifies that, because Mother's Day, oof, it's like, oh my God, like, make it stop. Not all mothers are great. Like, this is nauseating. So, I do find I struggle a little bit, even with all of the work. And I just have to not go onto social media on those days. So I kind of understand what they're saying. But what I found was I parented myself. I stopped wanting either of my parents, like, love or acceptance or to feel they were proud of me. I gave that to myself. And you start giving that to yourself. And then everything shifts. And also for how it impacts everybody around you. So if you're bottling that trauma, besides the fact you're likely to have physical issues, I mean, there's a direct correlation between suppressing emotions and physical problems, but your behavior will be impacting everyone around you. So even though it might seem like, oh, well, it's too late to deal, and they're never going to be happy with me, I'm not going to have great parents, like, that's, you know, there is how is your behavior from that impacting the people around you? I mean, I actually created the same eggshells for my now ex-husband in our marriage and didn't know I did it until I had a mirror held up in front of me and went, oh, whoa, what did I do that for? And it was horrifying, but also good, because it meant I could heal. But the other thing that's a really, really critical part of all healing is to understand the benefits of that childhood. As a child, I couldn't speak. Well, of course I did speak, but I didn't feel like I could, and I wasn't heard. So as an adult, all I want to do is speak. So I'm regularly on stages and I write books and I get my voice out there, and I'm always fighting for the underdog and I do lots of stuff like that. I also find that because I can read energy, I had to do that as a child to feel safe. Well, now I use it in my work to make sure everyone's involved. I can tell who's not participating, and it's fun, like, to feel that energy. But it also means I feel safe when I travel. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of negativity that comes from an abusive childhood, but there are also gifts, and the healing process helps you notice those. And then that just helps you heal even further.
That's really interesting that you have to find something positive about what happened to you, and it went towards making you the person that you are today. And there's, you know, not everybody can go into a room and read the room, I can tell you, you know. No, so like it's a bit fun. Of a superpower, you know.
It really is. And I can genuinely tell who's creating a problem for other people, because you can just sense it in the air. And anyone that's been through trauma will know that. It's actually, I'll tell you what it's like. You know, when you're at a party and say you go into another room and you can just see a couple and you just know they've been arguing. Like, you can just, it's that kind of vibe detector. But there are always, it sounds crazy, there are always positives. And I wonder how normal I'd be otherwise, in the respect of maybe I wouldn't be writing books or standing on stage. What would I be doing? I don't know.
And is part of the healing process, like, did you have to come to terms with the way your mother was and your father? Because your father was quite passive in the whole thing and he completely enabled your mother. Did you have to come to terms with that and kind of, I'm doing quotes here, like, forgive them to heal?
Yeah. I could hear those air quotes. No, I'm kidding. I could sense them. But and actually I'll touch on the forgiveness piece first, because there's a lot of stigma around that. You know, there's people that say you must forgive them, and that's their stuff, not your stuff. And there's forgiveness in the respect of, I chose to let go of the energy I was holding, which was anger and resentment and all that. Right. That was my, I forgave them to lose that energy. But there's no way I'm calling my mum up and going, hey, I forgive you. And she go, what for? Mm. And gaslight my reality. So I just want to be clear on that. There's forgiving for yourself. But part of any good healing process is the ability to look at, well, why are they the way they are? Like, what went down in my mum's life and my father's life that meant that mum turned out as a narcissist and dad didn't protect us. And I mean, it's written in there. It's all quite evident. It's generational trauma. We are living through so much of it because of world wars, that stiff upper lip, you know, don't talk about it, push the trauma down. And it's just come down. It comes down the DNA. Even if you don't know, it can come from a grandparent down the DNA. So it's really important to do that so that you can just at least start to accept, okay, they're flawed humans. They probably didn't really mean it. And then it becomes easier to let go of it. But you're doing it for yourself. It's not to call them up and go, hey, because it really wouldn't work with a narcissist. I don't recommend that.
but I suppose like all that anger and hurt and all those feelings that you have in your adult life that were caused by your childhood life, they're not doing anything good for you. So to be able to just, difficult, I'm sure it's not easy, but it's not helping your adult person, and you want to help your, it's your life, you have one life, and all that anger, you can't change the past. You can't go back and change what they did. You can't go back and make it any different. But you can draw a line under how they made you feel because you deserve better.
And sometimes you don't know as well that you've got all this buried anger. And so I focus a lot on mum in my memoir, but I do talk about dad periodically. And I was talking about doing, EFT, the tapping, the emotional freedom technique. Mm. And I did this weekend, and we went up to this specific incident that happened when I was three, but we focused on my dad. And suddenly, I thought like there was toxic tar coming up my throat. It was this anger that three-year-old me felt in that moment that I'd bottled. And it was just all these decades later, after all this healing was suddenly coming out, I did not know that I was holding that anger, and then felt so free after it. And it was just, again, I think there's a lot of people who go, like, I've had a really difficult childhood and, they've had emotional neglect or they were bullied at school and they don't deal with it. And I think they don't really know how much they're carrying and how much lighter and happier they could feel if they just found something and just made one step and started the process.
And was your dad in a way kind of more hurtful because somebody could be doing something to you and they're unaware of it. But then if your father was witnessing all of that and chose not to protect you or not to stand up for you, is that in a way kind of more hurtful or?
Good question. Was it worse? I don't know. I had quite a close bond with Dad. We used to escape and go to the shops and buy ice cream and stuff like that. Like he would say he didn't have favourites and I was totally his favourite. So there's sort of that. He gave me an escape, like a way out of the house. I wouldn't be there so much on the weekend. So that kind of probably clouded my judgment. But he had these words that were dismissive. You can't change your mother. Mm. And he would just say that in five words and dismiss me and all my feelings. So that's like emotional neglect. And just sweep them under the carpet. But again, 70s and 80s, it was quite common. Was it worse? I don't know. I sort of hold them equally accountable. One
it's probably not a fair
the
question.
And one the enabler. No, it's an excellent question. Because it's made me think about it and that happened.
But I think what I really want people to come away from this interview with is that you can make yourself better. If anyone saw you, that super confident person up on the stage and, helping all those people, like that's you now. And that's you now because of the work that you did and the fact that you were able to, you haven't forgotten your past, but you've left it there. To a certain extent, and you're now the person that you are, who is really confident. I think that's a good message. It's never too late. You could do worse than reading Katrina's book. It's called The Damage of Words. She's been my guest on this morning's program. Katrina, thank you so much.
Thank you.